Great. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for just being good to us, Lord. We have no right in and of ourselves to really have the ability to do anything, but with you, we can do all things. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just give us the wisdom to follow, and you know, just the wherewithal to just continue to just stay in our lane and just to follow you fervently, Lord. And I thank you for a week that you know, we can come and just really sit at your feet. A lot of times ministry gets so overwhelming, in a good way, but it's so overwhelming that we can almost lose focus on, where our heart is and where we're headed. And so, Lord, I pray that this week we could really, zone back in on that, that we could hear from, just men of God, that are willing to, preach the word of God, that would, stir up, the church of God to get the, you know, the word where it needs to go on time. And so there's so many things going on. I thank you for the team from Maple City that's here, just taking time off work to take care of our kids so that we can come together as one body. I thank you for just the Passpoint class being willing to help out in all the ways. I pray for all the things that are, there's a lot of logistics that go into a conference like this, so I just pray that those things would just fall together for the furtherance of the gospel, and they wouldn't be just details, but they would be your things, Lord. And so I thank you for the people who are here to speak to us. I do pray for James as he's still struggling with the things with his eyes, Lord. I pray for Jody as she's been serving all week. I pray you just get her back on her feet so she can get up here to hear the word. And Lord, I just pray for our hearts this week as we endeavor to just walk on holy ground. When anytime your word is spoken, we know that you're speaking to us. So I pray that we would take heed to it, that we wouldn't just take it lightly. It wouldn't just be another time to hear some teaching, but that we would just really take it and apply it to our lives. And I pray that you'd speak to us even this morning as some of the things that you've just really been rolling around in my brain, that you would allow them to come out just clear and concise and just really impact our hearts. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, a lot to get through. If you got your Bibles, we're not going to be in Acts today. I know some of you are like, we're going to really make some headway in Acts because we really haven't got going yet, and we're not. Today is, we'll get back to that next week. We really will. But this is kind of like the Vision Conference kickoff. And so, you know, the importance of what we do with the Vision Conference, some people just don't. I remember when I got saved, and that was many moons ago, but it wasn't very long after we got saved, the church started having this conference. We got saved early in the spring, and I was like, why in the world are they having church like every day of the week? I just didn't understand. I did not understand what was going on, and I remember it was just really a really good teaching, and over the years, God's really used a conference like this. If you don't know what the Vision Conference is, some churches call it a missions conference. There'll be different speakers who come in, but it's just really a time for us as a church to hear the heart of what God has for us over the upcoming year. And so typically Brian will let the guys who are coming to speak, you know, give them a little bit of a, this is kind of where we're headed. Now you allow the Lord to speak to you and you tell us what that really looks like. And we get to hear about, you know, some things that are going on in the field. And you guys know that we're a missions church and we support, you know, a lot of missionaries and, you know, we're about those kinds of things. But, you know, where do you fit in that is the bigger question. And so that's kind of what this is all about. And so, you know, there's a need to have conferences like this because as a church in the heart of America, we can become, I mean, complacent, if you really want to know the truth. And, you know, we need to be stirred up for these things. And so, you know, I could give you testimonies. I don't have time of just the way that God has used the Vision Conference in the past. You know, different people. I remember when Doug Howie was preaching one time, I just, you know, was completely broken. And, yeah, there's just several times over the years that God has used these conferences, even in my life. And so, you know, this year in Passpoint, we've kind of got this theme of everyone be, right? Be what it is that God's called you to be. Don't be anything more. Don't be anything less. Just be what God's called you to be and allow everybody else to be what God has called them to be. And then we can really get, you know, the work of God done because we're not trying to step on everybody's toes. We're just, you know, we're staying in our lane. We're doing our thing. And, you know, I was thinking through it this morning as I was, you know, wrapping this stuff up, and there's going to be approximately 15 teaching sessions, starting now till Wednesday night. That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot. Sometimes some of you guys, you get it maybe once a week, or twice if you come to Passpoint, you know, or I don't know, maybe three times if you come on Wednesday nights, but there's going to be a lot available to you, right? And so this is like the kickoff of the conference. And you know, if you think about a football game, nobody remembers the kickoff unless it's what? either really good for your team or really bad for your team. And so I really hope that, if nothing else, you don't remember this, right? I don't want it to be really bad. I don't want it to be, I just want our hearts to be in the right place as we get into this, because I'm nobody, but I think God's got some cool things in store for us this week. So if nothing else, I just want to tie this into where we're at as a class. And, you know, hopefully I'll preface it like this. It may come across offensive. These are some things that God has had on my heart for a little while. Typically we stay, you know, whatever we're teaching through, that's what we stick to. But these are some things I've been meditating on. And, I'll just tell you this. I'm not speaking about you in particular. Right? And so just know that. There's at least multiple of yous, and so that need to hear this, including myself. But it's not any one person that I'm... So this is just some stuff that God has given me. So anyway, my goal today is to set our hearts up to hear from God. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to flip around a little bit, but go to Luke chapter 9 to start. I really am going to try to move extremely quickly, because you guys know typically I can just be like, well, come back next week and we'll finish, but I can't do that. And so we really need to get where we need to go. I've got more notes than I have time for, so let's just get into this. Luke chapter 8. What'd you say? Luke chapter 9. I'm telling you, my brain's everywhere today. Pray for me. Starting in verse 57. So this is a passage that, if you're doing our, you know, reading thing this year in Past Point, we read this just a few weeks ago. But ever since I read it, it's kind of just been, you know, sometimes you read something and it's like, I need to chew on that for a while. That just needs to roll around for a while. And that's kind of what's been going on. And this is kind of where I want to start. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. It says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. That's a decent request, you know. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which were in my house, or at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, and this is where I really want to get to, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And I think that word fit is, you know, that's just what's really been going around in my head. Because, you know, when something is fit, it's like made for. You know, you can force a square hole into a square peg into a round hole if you hit it hard enough, right? I'm a carpenter. I can tell you, you can make things happen, right, with enough. But when something is fit for something, it is designed for it, right? And when we put our hand to the plow, we are fit for what God has called us to do. It's like we were created for it, I would almost say. And you can do your own kind of study on that. But this passage has been in my head since we read it a few weeks ago, and here's why. I know people, personally, and I'm not talking about anybody in the Past Point class when I say this, or even in HBF, right? I know people, faithful people, people who have put their hand to the plow. And you would have looked at their life and said, there's no way that this person would ever veer off, would ever fall off. They've put their hand to the plow, who looked back. And that's really hard. It's hard to know people that you looked up to, that you sat under, that you served alongside with, and to see them just turn their back and walk away. And that's why this is important. And so every time I read about the Church of Laodicea, most of you guys know the Church of Laodicea, it's a church age that we live in, right? I wonder, how can that be said of our church age? Now, I understand that those churches down the street, or maybe they're a little messed up, but I feel like we really have things going in the right direction. How can that be said of our church age? And then I look around and I see with my own eyes the things that Jesus knew before they even happened were going to happen. Flip over to Revelation chapter 3, because these are just some things to get our heads in. You guys have heard these things, but this is just a lot of meditation. And this is my way of getting it out, because this is all introduction. So, Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And the angel of the church in the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Does that sound like, you know, anything like the culture that we live in? I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, right, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's what Jesus has to say about the culture that we live in, the church that we are a part of. I don't mean the overall church that we're living in. Nobody wants to have a standard. Nobody wants to have an authority of the Word of God. They want to just kind of go with whatever they want. And he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich with white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, that thou, holy smokes, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's what he's calling us to do. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and Brian does this all the time. He stands up there and he's knocking on the pulpit, right? God is standing at the door and he's knocking, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Right? And he goes on, but like, how can that be said? Right, that we live in a culture where our church is known as, well, nobody even wants to come to church because why would I? They're just hypocrites. They're just like the rest of the world. Well, it's because we're not doing a good enough job of letting them know that we're different. We're not showing them that God is real and that this isn't just another religion. And so, you know, I think about these things and, you know, we put our hands to the plow and we're trying to stay busy, but when we put our hands to the plow and look back, we're living like our church age, right? When you can know people that have put their hands and they were all bought in and then they totally walked away, I mean, that's why. That's what's written to our church age. The goal is to put our hands to the plow and to look forward, not look back. Now, I know nowadays you can jump in the tractor and you type in on the GPS. At least I assume this is how it works, and it makes straight lines for you. But there was a time when if you wanted to make a straight line, you had to pick something out in the distance and you had to stay focused on it. And you didn't worry about the things that were right here because you were focused on the eternal, right? The end goal. And that's how you made your straight line. 2 Timothy 2:2, you guys know this verse. And the things that thou hast heard of me. Yes. I'm like, I keep hearing voices. I'm like, Jesus, is that you? And the things that thou hast heard about me, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also, right? That is what we do at HBF. That's the theme verse of HBI, our Bible Institute. But, right, there's multiple things to that verse. I was going to ask Austin what it said, but I want to put him on the spot. That was a memory verse in D1 just a few weeks ago. But, you know, I think Austin was feeding it to Mitchell. That's how he knew it. So, the things that thou hast heard of me, right, the same commit thou to faithful men, right? That's the goal, right? It's reproduction. It's not just doing it, but it's reproducing. It's what we call discipleship, right? And the churches that we're around, it's discipleship. It's like a chain. As long as every link does its part, the chain's going to continue to go. If I hear the things and somebody commits them to me and I commit them to them, then as long as they commit them to someone else, the chain continues to go. But you know what? It only takes one weak link for a chain to not be strong anymore. It only takes one time of somebody saying, well, somebody else will do it, before now all of a sudden it's not getting done. But it only takes one, right? Moses would, and I'm going back to, if you're doing our reading, we've been reading through the Bible. And so, you know, Moses was faithful. Right? And what did he do? He committed those faithful things to a faithful man. His name was Joshua. Right? And Joshua is one of my favorite guys in the Bible, but, you know, there's some things that I think Joshua could have done a little differently towards the end. And I'm not here to criticize, you know, God's faithful guys in the Bible. I just want to make sure that we can pick these things. Right? But then what happened? He imparted these things to a faithful man of Joshua, but what happened? Well, get to the end of Joshua's life. We just read it this week. And it's like, well, what happened, right? Everybody in here is afraid of something, right? Like, I could ask you to write down, like, what are you most afraid of, right? And some of you would be like, snakes. And I'd be like, amen, right? Because there's something weird about an animal that doesn't have legs like that. But anyway, we're not going to... The biggest fear in my life, and I haven't told many people this, but the biggest fear in my life, and people think this is funny at times, is that nobody would show up to my funeral. And the thing is, like, I really shouldn't even be a fear in my life because I'd be dead at that point. And so I'm with Jesus. And but what that means, the reason that keeps me up is because that would mean that I didn't have an impact in anybody's life. All the things that I did, because when we gave our lives to the Lord, I mean, we kind of went all in. And I say me, but Paige and I, like, and so to know that, like, all of those years, all of those times, all of those late nights and early mornings and everything in between, that those were just wasted. Like, that's something that keeps me up at night. I mean, not really often, because typically I don't sleep a lot, and so when I do get to sleep, I sleep pretty well. But there are times that those things keep me up at night, right? That there was no real impact, that there was not, I've heard it said like this, not leaving well. Right? Not leaving well. And so here's what I want to show you today. If you want a title, I'm sorry, I should have given it to you. The title's Not Looking Back. Anyway, so we can move on. But here's what I got. I got three times in the life of Joshua. Brady's laughing over there. Three times in the life of Joshua to show the importance of leaving well. Right? And so anyway, the first thing that I want to show you, and we're going to flip around a little bit. Flip over to Numbers chapter 13. I don't want to read this whole thing. But you guys, most of us, we just read through this, you know, not very long ago. I don't even really know what the title was, Holly, or I'd tell you again. So I heard what you said, but no, it's all good. Like, anyway, yeah, just paraphrase. It's all good. Joshua learned, this is the first thing that I want you guys to get. He learned to do the right things. Joshua learned to do the right things. Numbers 13 into Numbers 14, right? And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is the story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's where Moses sends out 12 guys to spy out the promised land. Right? And so they go into the land. I'll get to at least some of it. We'll read in a minute. But anyway, the men are sent to, it says in verse 13, I think it's interesting. In verse 2, they're sent to search. In verse 17, they're sent to spy. In verse 18, they're sent to see the land. Coincidentally, you know, you can have a pretty good outline there if you were looking for something to preach. But they're sent to do those things. I never hear any time in verse 20, where Moses told them to bring anything back, but they did. They brought things back. They were sent to search and to spy and to see, but they brought back. Anyway, so they go into the land, and they just need to see what's going on, right? This is what being the student looks like. This is what we call D1 at HBF, right? Discipleship 1. It's going, and you're sent to search and to spy and to see what the things of the Lord are, and to learn these things and start to apply them to your life. Start to, you know, make adjustments where, oh, I didn't really realize that I shouldn't be doing those things. And I've given you guys testimony before of some of the things that when I got saved, you know, I came out of a different type of lifestyle. And so it took a while for God to show me, like, it's not just those things that you need to forsake. It's those other things too, right? And so I learned over time, oh, I get it now. And so, like, this is D1. This is D2. This is searching and spying and seeing, right? This is just learning the things of God. This is early ministry. Remember your days, some of you guys, of early ministry, and you know, I think back to some of the things that God allowed us to be a part of and how, you know, just utterly zealous that I thought I needed to be, and I was going to just get it all done. And God bless those things, but you know, you have a lot to learn, right? As a young man and as a young woman in the Lord, and that's what this is. He learned to do the right things. This is the season of learning that's going to prove the type of disciple that the person's going to be, right? As they're growing up through D1 and D2, they're dabbling in ministry. They're figuring out what God wants them to do. You know, they're asking God almost daily, God, what do you want me to do? I want to follow you. Like, that's what Joshua was doing. Like, he was sent out as one of these guys to search and to spy, and he goes and he does these things. And, you know, flip over to Numbers 14. Let's at least read some of this. And in verses 1 to 10, so they go into the land, they come back, and you guys know most of the story, but it says, in all the congregation, so they came back and ten of the guys were like, hey, we can't go. They're too big. There's giants there. There's no way we'll be able to do this. And you get to chapter 14, and it says, and the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured, because that's what God blesses, is murmuring, not against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, right? God forbid that be our mindset, that we would just be better off dying in the world than trying to follow the Lord. Or would to God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord, they're blaming it on God, brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Well, that's a pretty good plan. Let's just do that. Let's go back and be slaves. We'd rather be slaves, right, than do what God has asked us to do. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces, because that's what leaders do, right? They're just begging of the Lord before all the assembly, the congregation, and the children of Israel. And then here's in verse 6 where I really want to get to. And Joshua, the son of Nun, this is one of the guys, right? This is the guy we're talking about. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, were with them that searched the land. They rent their clothes, and they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. And then in verse 8, it says, if the Lord delight in us. Well, I mean, wasn't that the same God that parted the Red Sea for you? Wasn't it the same God that brought you out of bondage? I think he probably delights. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring them this land and give it us, a land which floweth milk and honey. Verse 9, only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of this land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. But the Lord is with us, fear them not. Right? These guys, they're like, man, I don't know what these other 10 guys saw when they were there, but I know the God that I serve. Right? I know it seems hard. I understand that some of you guys have some things going on in life that are overly and abundantly harder than they should be. And there's circumstances that really are, you shouldn't have to go through. But do you know the Lord that we serve? Like, who's the God that you follow? Because I know the God that I follow, and it's the same guy. I know what he can do. It was this passage at a vision conference. Doug Howie was preaching. I think it was a Tuesday night. Talking about the spies going in and coming out. And I was saved. I'd been saved for a few years. I was in, I think I was in HBI at the time. And I remember, clear as day, I can't remember the exact passage. I know it was the ten and two spies, right? And I remember it was a Tuesday night, and I couldn't even make it to the altar. I remember just falling apart right there in the pew, or the chairs, because we're not pews, right? And I think the people that were sitting next to me at the time, I don't even think Paige was with me. I think she was maybe work. I don't remember. Maybe you wouldn't have been in the nursery. I don't know. Maybe she was with me, but, okay. Anyway, I just remember, I think the people next to me thought maybe I was getting saved or something. I was saved. I was sold out for the Lord at this point. I mean, I was in HBI, but it was at this point that I knew that there were things that I was holding back from the Lord. There were things that, like, if God would have said, I need you to do this, I'd have been like, yeah, not yet. And it was at that point that I was like, okay, God, you can have whatever. I don't, you want to send me halfway around the world? Tell me which plane to be on. Tell me where to go. And it really didn't matter. And it was at that point that, you know, God started to really show me that, okay, now you're ready to start. You know, you think that, like, when you get to that point, okay, now I'm all in, I'm ready. No, God's like, okay, now I can start using, now I can really start to use you, right? Now you're finally the malleable clay that I've asked you to be the entire time. And, you know, I remember it was this passage, and, you know, it was like the I'm giving everything to the Lord 2.0. Because, you know, the first version is getting saved, but it was like the second version of God, no, you can really have everything now. And, you know, some of us today, I'm telling you, you need to make a decision to go all in so that you can learn well. Because if you don't learn well, you're never going to get to where Joshua was later in life. You have to learn well first. You know, we say that Romans 12, 1 and 2 is my favorite passage in the Bible, but, you know, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least you can do. You can give me everything. Paul says, give him everything, and that's actually the starting point. Some of us think that that's the pinnacle of my Christian walk. If I could get to the place where I gave everything to the Lord, Paul's like, that's the starting point. If you can get to there, then God's ready to start using you. It's not the finish line, that's the starting point. We have to learn well. Right? And some of us in here, I don't know where you're at, I know where some of you are, but we gotta learn well, because if you don't learn well, you're never gonna get to living well. Right? And that's the next thing that we see with Joshua. Joshua lived a life that was glorifying to God. He learned well, but he also lived well. Once you have decided to go all in, to be one of the two instead of one of the ten. Praise the Lord. I mean, I pray that's what we all are. I think that, you know, we understand the pass point class. We're past the point of no return for Christ. We're not going back. There's no way that we could go back. But this is where your proving actually begins. This is where God says, okay, now we're ready to get started. The Lord's going to start to give you opportunities to choose to follow. Before, it was easy to follow. Right? Now he's going to start giving you opportunities to choose to follow. Choosing to follow is doing it when it's hard. Choosing to follow is doing it when it's not convenient. Choosing to follow is, well, it's not the sexy kind of Christianity that most people are into, right? You have to choose. You have to want to. Right? So how did Joshua do this? He gets to this point where he has to start choosing to follow, right? To give God the glory instead of himself. You know, what does Joshua do? If you fast forward through Joshua's life, because I don't have time to read all these passages, but, you know, Moses dies, and so now it's time to go into the promised land. So what does Joshua do? Well, he sends 2 spies, coincidentally enough, not 12, to go spy out the land one more time before they cross the Jordan. I think he learned something, right? And they go in, they find Rahab, they go into Jericho, you know the story on all that, right? He leads the people across the Jordan River. He leads the people into the promised land. Joshua was he was getting things done. He has a meeting face to face with God himself along the way, right? In, what is that? Joshua chapter, right before they go into Jericho. Joshua chapter 5, right before they go into Jericho. You know, he's like, are you for us or against us? And he's like, I'm that guy. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And he's like, oh. And he just falls on his face before the Lord, right? And, you know, there's something to be said, because if he doesn't have that meeting, I don't think he follows in chapter 6 the way he should have, right? I don't think he follows as obediently as he could have, because Joshua, he was a military guy. He'd have been like, I tell you what, we're not going to march around this city, or we're going to take it out. But instead, it was the meeting with the Lord that he realized, no, I'm going to follow. Anyway, he has a meeting with God himself along the way. He defeats Jericho, God's way, by the way. He doesn't do it his way. He's like, you want me to do what now, God? You realize that I'm the new leader here, and there's a lot of people that are starting to follow me. You want me to tell them the game plan is to march around the city, and then we're going to yell really loud? That's the game plan? They're going to have me replaced before I even get the plan out of my mouth. But he does it, and he does it God's way, and God blesses it, because, you know, God's into obedience over sacrifice all the time. Okay, so he leads the people throughout the land as a military general, you know, everywhere they go against, you know, they're conquering it. Joshua is getting some things done. You know, he's really getting it done. And so you're like, okay, but what does that have to do with me? Well, think about this as a ministry aspect. Think about your life in just ministry for a second. You know, a disciple, they get saved. Right? They get discipled. They go all in for the Lord, because it typically happens in that. You know, Joshua becomes a man's man, a true leader. That's what happens when, you know, you see the cream rise to the crop in ministry. You know, you got these true leaders. He follows the Lord in ministry. He has his hand to the plow. He's never not working for the Lord. He's like, you know, Troy Polamalu, Patrick Mahomes, all the things. Never not working. He's always doing the work of the Lord. He's doing all the things all the time. He's going all the time. It's a commercial, if you guys didn't know. I only watch football, so it's the only thing I can reference. He's never not working for the Lord. And it's at this point in the disciple's life where you find out if all in really means all in. Because you told God, I'm all in. You told him. I remember. You told him, oh, I'm all in. Go back and read. The nation of Israel, they're like, oh yeah, Joshua, we're all in. But it's at this point that you really find out if all in means all in or most of the way in. The trials in life start to come. Some of you can track with this. The more you learn, the more you think you know, right? 2 Timothy 3:7, never learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We're all about knowledge, but we're never applying it. This is where, let me just tell you, I've been in these seasons of life. Looking back, it starts to sound pretty good. It starts to seem like that might be the easy way out. If there was ever a time to look back, I'm telling you, I've walked through some things that those may have been the time. This is where you find out if you're really past the point. You know, we say that all the time here. You know, I'm past the point of no return for Christ. You know, that's what the past point class means. But you have to start asking yourself, am I really past the point? Am I really going to stick with that ministry when everybody's bailing? When all of a sudden it's, you know, nobody wants to be a part of it. Am I really going to stick with that reading plan that I said I was going to do? Right? Am I really going to be all in, or am I just kind of in? Right? Am I really going to continue to give when the paychecks get short? Am I really going to continue to follow when... Will you really be all in? Are you going to continue to straddle the fence? Be lukewarm? You know, it all ties together. God knew what he was talking about from the beginning when he wrote about the end, and now here we are in the middle of the story. And we're like, but I want to be all in. I want to do all those things. But I'm just saying, if you want to bad enough, you will. It's interesting in our lives that the things that are important to us, we make time for. I'll just be black and white with you. And I'm not thinking of anyone when I say that. But I just think it's interesting that we will make time in our life for the things that are important to us. I look back over the years of my life and the things that I thought were really important. And I'm like, I don't even know where time was at to do those things now. You know, and I'm not saying that I've got anything figured out. There's still a lot of things that I need to forsake and follow, right? But we will make time for the things that are important to us. So I guess what I'm asking you to do is look at your life and what is it that your life says is important to you? Because I'm kind of tired of hearing about from your mouth what's important to you. What is your life showing is important to you? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we find out what is really happening. And I'm not saying all this to convict you. I'm saying this because I want your heart to be right, because there's some guys that are going to come over the next several days that are really going to have something to say. And if you've still got this mindset of, oh no, I'm all in. No, I need to, I'm just telling you, you need to evaluate your life, because I think that you're kind of in. And again, I'm not speaking to anybody, but I think some of us are just kind of in, and you need to at least have that revelation in your life so that you can start to tear down some walls and figure out what is it that God's really wanting you to do over this next week. Right? We got to quit just kind of being a part of it, kind of being, you know, cold and kind of being hot and kind of being this and kind of, we're straddling the fence. Going all in means that you're going to give up the things that you want for the things of the Lord. That's what that means. There's only so much time, and honestly, most of us are wasting ours. There's only so many minutes in the day. I don't know how many times I say that. We all have the same amount of minutes in the day. I'm convicted every time I spend time with Pastor Brian, because I think the guy sleeps about 2 hours a night. Like there's only so many hours in the day, and I think he realizes that I'm just going to have to use them the best way that I can. And it's just like, there's only so many hours. And so what are we doing with hours? I didn't even mean to say that, right? There's only so much time so what are we doing? I feel like we're wasting it. Joshua 24:15, you guys should know this verse, but I'm going to flip over there because I'm going to get to the point. Joshua 24:15, we know this verse. It says, Joshua is given a charge at the end of his life, and he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day which you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served, which are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And we read that, and we're like, man, Joshua had this figured out, man. He was like getting it done, and he was. He really was. A lot of us, we've got this verse, you know, on our house, and I'm not even talking about your physical house, I'm talking about, you know, we are the temple of God. We've got that verse plastered all over us, right? We wear our Jesus t-shirts and all the things, and, you know, by the way, buy a Vision Conference t-shirt, they're available, I'm sure, and, you know, all the things. But a lot of us, we've got these verses on our house, but honestly, I'm just saying, I don't see it in very many of our houses. We've got it written all over us, but I don't know how many of us it's written in. Joshua, he learned well, he lived well, but this is what I want to get to, because this is where, and I just read this just recently, he failed to leave things correctly. He learned well and he lived well, but I don't feel like he left things in the best state that he could have. And I don't want to take anything away from what Joshua did do in his life, but I don't think he left things the way that he could. Flip over to Judges chapter 2, a couple pages from where we just were. And I'm going to get to the point so I can get done on time. You guys didn't think I was going to get done. I didn't either. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, being the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." Man, that's a good long life. "And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres." I think that's how you say it. "In the Mount of Ephraim, in the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation that were gathered into their families. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook," verse 12, "the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. Now, I want to preface this before I even get into it. This doesn't fall solely on Joshua. There was an entire generation of men who should have done what Joshua should have done. Okay, so I want to preface that. Okay, in a church like HBF, in a church age like Laodicea, we talked about that, this can become our biggest downfall if we're not careful. We're so gung-ho with ministry, with, you know, charging hell with a squirt gun, with doing whatever we can, with the resources we've got, with go, go, go. We've got to get it done while there's time. We've got to, if we're not careful, this can become our biggest downfall. We busy ourselves with so much doing the work of the Lord that we sometimes leave the Lord at the door. We get so busy about the work of God that sometimes it becomes a machine. And we need to make sure that doesn't happen. We can never forget that ministry, Alan Shelby said this, runs on the rails of relationships. What does that mean? So if ministry is a train, the rails that it runs on, the things that keep it moving, are relationships. If the relationships are broken, what's going to happen to the train, the ministry? It's going to just catastrophically fail. A train cannot go without the tracks. Ministry becomes work when we leave people out of it. That's just the truth of the matter. Ministry becomes work when we leave people out of it. Joshua was so busy with the work of the Lord. He was a military guy. He was going. He was conquering. He was doing that. He lost sight of the people of the Lord. And I'm not sure that he lost sight of the people that he was serving with, but it was the next generation that he never brought with him. He lived a great life, but he failed. But a failed legacy in the Lord, right? A great life, but maybe a failed legacy. He had a faithful man who committed faithful things to him. Moses committed faithful things to him, but he failed to give them to somebody else that was going to teach others also, right? That he became that weak link, and now the chain is not going to... I'm not saying Joshua walked away from the Lord or looked back at all. He didn't do those things. He simply allowed the work of the Lord to take priority of the people of the Lord. And I get it. Like, I understand what it's like to burn the candle at both ends. To start before the sun and end way after the sun. And it's ministry at both ends. And wonder, how am I supposed to have time to do that as well? I don't know. It's prioritizing. So here's my question for you as we wrap up. Who are you training? Who are you investing in? Who are you, what we call, discipling? And I'm not talking about officially in D1. And some of you guys, you're like young in the Lord, and I'm not expecting you to disciple anybody. You're still back in the, hey, you need to learn of the Lord, and praise the Lord. You'll get there. But who are you discipling to teach others also when you're gone? Because you know what? Death is still batting 1,000. There's nobody who's figured out how to not get there. So I'm telling you, if we're all guaranteed the day, who's filling your shoes? Right? What is that old country song? Who's going to fill your shoes? Right? I'm not asking. Now, here's what I want somebody to hear, because this is what I need to hear. I'm not asking who's already qualified. Right? I'm not asking who's already working alongside of you that if I was to up and die, well, they're just going to step in. That's your Barnabas in ministry. That's your co-laborer. Right? And you know what happens with co-laborers? God's got other plans for them, right? Think about Paul and Barnabas. You know, I've always said we should all have a Paul in our life, somebody we're learning from. We should all have a Barnabas in life, somebody we're ministering alongside with. And we should all have a Timothy, somebody we're investing into. You know, and Paul and Barnabas, they got to a point in ministry where it was like, hey, we're doing the same thing, but we're going to have to do it in different places, right? And God will do that. And sometimes those are hard divisions. But you know what? God's got a purpose in all those things. And he proved that in the book of Acts. We'll get there soon enough when we get there. But that's a long ways into the book of Acts. So it's going to be a while before we get there. But, you know, Barnabas has his own plans from the Lord. So you can't just assume that, oh, my co-laborer, if something happens to me or if God calls me out, they'll just step in. No, who are you training to fill your shoes? Who are you bringing up to fill your shoes? Because your Barnabas, he's got other orders from the Lord. He's got other things that God's calling him to do. You can't just assume that somebody's going to... My question is, who's your Timothy? Who are you going out of your way to invest in that doesn't even seem that interested right now? Right? So that needs to hear the truth of the Word, and they need to see the truth of the Word lived out in your life. so that they can start to walk in. And that's what this week we're going to hear from the Lord from some really faithful people. Some of us need to learn to walk well. I'm sorry. Some of us need to learn well like Joshua. Some of us need to take a step of faith and go all in to live well for the Lord. Forsake some things that we're filling our minds and our time with and follow the way that we know we need to. But all of us, I don't care where you're at in the Lord, you could have gotten saved yesterday. All of us need to keep our hands to the plow and make sure that we're investing in people. Because if it's only the machine of getting the things done and it's never about the people, then I'm telling you, it's going to go off the rails. It has to be about relationships. How did Jesus do it? He said, hey, I'm going to pick some guys and I'm going to show you how I do it. So that what? So that when I'm gone, you can start doing it in my stead. Right? It's just a pattern we see over and over and over again in the Bible. And that has to be the way that we go about our Christian walk. Now, I'm not saying you guys can't have hobbies, this, that, and the other. But I'm saying some of us need to make sure that the main thing is the main thing. And y'all know what that means. Make sure you've got a Timothy in your life. Make sure you've got somebody that you're investing in. Because if not, some of the things you're going to hear this week, they're just going to be like right over your head. We've got to be able to invest in faithful men who are able to teach others also. Right? Because you know why? Because for as strong and as mighty and as gung-ho as you are, Joshua, you can't do it all on your own. Because there will be a day that you're not here, and if you didn't teach somebody else to do it, I mean, man, that was a good 110 years. But what about after that? Right? Who's going to fill it after that? Who's going to keep it going? That's what discipleship is. Guys, this week as we hear from the Lord, we have to listen. And I know that seems like a duh, right? But you're never going to hear an answer from the Lord if you're not listening. And sitting there is not listening. Like, people who listen, they're listening. If you don't know, you laugh at that. Husbands, I shouldn't say husbands, wives, are there times that your wife is, or wives, are there times that your husband is there but not listening? Okay, well, whatever. There's a difference between I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm hearing what you're saying. You got to be listening this week, guys, because God's got some things for us. And don't just hear it. Listen to it. Because if you listen to it, you're going to heed it. All right, let's pray. We'll get out of here. I'm excited to hear from Pradeep this morning. Pradeep is a faithful, faithful dude. And if you don't believe me, you should go to Indy and see him. He'll let you come. So let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you would just allow these things to convict us. We bounced around a lot. We didn't get super deep in any one passage, Lord, but I pray that we are walking in the way that you've called us to walk. We're ready to give it all to you, God, and whatever that means. Some of us need to, you know, be willing to step into D1. Some of us need to be willing to take the next step and, you know, get into D2 or HBI. Some of us need to be ready to say, you know what, I'm ready to go wherever God calls me to go. And then, you know what, when you get to that point, God's ready to start using you. So I pray that you would convict us this week, just allow us to really hear from you. And that we wouldn't let our own preconceived ideas get in the way. I pray for all the things that are going to be said, that they wouldn't fall on deaf ears, but we're listening to hear from you, Lord. And I just pray that you get the glory for all of it, because we don't deserve any of it, but you deserve all of it, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Hey, there's going to be some opportunities. You'll hear about it soon enough, but there's some mission trips coming up. And so I would encourage you to go ahead and throw your excuses out the window and get a passport and sign up for one of these trips, because there's a lot of things going on in 2026 and we need to be ready to get on them. All right. See you guys.